Welcome to the Purpose Podcast. My name is Rachel. I'm here with my husband, Zach, and we are so passionate about your purpose to win the world. So make sure before we get rolling that you like and subscribe and follow and all the things that you can do.
All the things.
To stay up to date on what is going on with Purpose Podcast.
So today we're going to talk about something. Maybe for you, this is like a big polarizing topic, or maybe whenever we say this, you're going to be like, I don't really know the difference. Either way, it's going to be a great discussion. It'll be a great discussion, not just for us to have right now together, but for you to have with people. And I would also say, I hope that everything we talk about on here is essential, but this is so essential for you to actually go on to win your world. One of these do not win their world, and the other one does win their world. One of them is a Christian. I put that in air quotes because you can make a real case that they're not. A Christian who's just, playing along, whatever. And another one is like truly waking up every day to win their world. And it's the thought of being a cultural Christian versus being an actual disciple of Jesus. So being a cultural Christian versus being a disciple of Jesus. Now, before we talk about specifically what a disciple of Jesus is and even what a cultural Christian, well, could you start out just by how would you describe a cultural Christian?
Well, I think that this is, you have said before, you know, when you talk about like boomers, the values of American society were closer to that of Scripture in their formation as a person, like their personhood. So the values of the world around them, the environment that they were in, were close to biblical values. So they had thoughts and agreed with things that you see in the Bible. As times progressed, many of us were raised by parents who had those values, but not necessarily practices of following Jesus. So when you say a cultural Christian, what you mean is somebody who probably agrees with a lot of things that they see in the Bible. They believe God's real, Jesus is real. You believe in God, you believe in Jesus, you want to be a good person. You might go to church sometimes. You know, definitely, hey, I go Christmas and Easter. I hit the big ones. And you say, but when you talk about a cultural Christian, this is somebody who might have those thoughts, but they're being formed by the world. This is unintentional. Mm-hmm. You don't realize it's happening, but you're formed by the environment you live in. So you're living in a world that's lost and whose values have shifted, particularly in American culture, over the last 40 years dramatically, right? But then we have the stories that we hear that shape us, form us, and then the relationships that we have and the habits that we keep. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about a cultural Christian, their environment probably more than likely aligns with some of the things that we see in Scripture. They believe in God. You might pray sometimes. But the stories that you've heard and believe are about God, you're okay with. And the relationships you have, you might have some people in your life who really follow Jesus or agree with you and believe that God's real. And the habits that you keep, you might have some here and there, like I go to church sometimes. But overall, the stories that you hear and believe, the relationships that you have and the habits that you keep are representative of the place you live, your environment, and not representative of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So when a disciple is somebody who's being intentionally formed by the Holy Spirit, the community that they're in, the teaching they're receiving, and the practices they have, which are that of Jesus. Hmm. So when you look at your life, so you can just take a second, because you said this about, and you'll have to talk about that a little bit at the end of that chapter you talked about in this book, but hey, there is a difference between believing in God and believing in Jesus and following him. Those are two different things, and we've said that before, but what we want to do is kind of drill down and give you a very clear picture, especially as we enter into a time where people are very open to things of spiritual nature. People around Halloween, People are talking about, they're watching movies. It is a topic of discussion, the supernatural. Mm-hmm. So it's really important that if we say, hey, I'm a follower of Jesus, that we are plugged into the supernatural and we're experiencing transformation in our life.
Yeah.
So that we can show people that God is real versus just being somebody who, I agree with those things. That's nice. I want to be a good person, but that's a religion of morality. It has nothing to do with following Jesus.
Yeah. So let me say it a little bit differently. Less words, more concise here. A cultural Christian is formed by like what's happened around them, mm-hmm. whereas a disciple is formed by what they do, like their obedience, their surrender to it, like we said, like to a rabbi. So mm-hmm. here's a good example. We were meeting with some of our missionaries, and their Christianity is illegal where they're at, so we won't say where they're at, but mm-hmm. over close to the Middle East, somewhere in Africa, they live in a predominantly Muslim country, which again you hear a lot of like radical ideologies around, but there's just as many Muslims who are, they're just cultural Muslims, like that's yeah. what they are, just because of that they are that way because of what their parents said or what they had to repeat
and
or whatever.
And the nation they live in.
Right. Which again, I think that a lot of us believe like super, which we should, Christianity is right, it's the only way, but do we believe that because we've been shaped by Jesus to believe that, or do we believe that because that's what we've heard, that's what our parents said, whatever? Because if you're having a hard time manifesting these actions, like we talked about on recently in the podcast, especially in August, if you're having trouble doing those things, is that because you're not living as a true disciple, or you're doing what you said? So like mm-hmm. you're doing what the rabbi said. So like a great example, we were talking with that missionary, and I was just asking, we care a lot about people winning their world. So like, hey, how are you winning people to Jesus in a Muslim country? And Muslims believe in Jesus. They just don't, he's in the Quran. They just mm-hmm. don't believe that he's the Son of God. And so what they do is they actually do something. They are a true disciple. So whenever they are with these people, they'll say, hey, can I pray for you? Again, and actually what brought this to mind is talking about October, people open to spiritual things. He will ask, can I pray for you? And what he's realized is that Muslims don't pray for each other. Because it's predominantly, it feels like a very cultural religion instead of a personal discipleship
right, where
relationship.
They are.
Mm-hmm. And so when he says, can I pray with you? And people say, yeah, of course, because like culturally, like, okay, that's a thing. So he'll pray for them. He and his wife,
right
they'll pray for
mm-hmm.
them right then. And then they'll end it in Jesus' name, amen, which is a little weird for them, but it's okay. It's not going to get them killed there. But then they come back around the next time they see him, and they ask if what they prayed for. So first of all, people never get prayed for, so they're taken aback. Second, they come back around and ask if God did what they asked him to do. And so like, I think that's just a good, for me, it was a good reminder and a good differentiation between, I believe because I guess I just believe. I believe because it has helped me fit in. That's because what people did. And then there's this way of life that I follow where Jesus is telling me to go. I say what Jesus is telling me to say. I'm a disciple.
Well, and I think it's also helpful for us to note that if you're frustrated with people around you who say they are a Christian, like let's not be frustrated with them. More than likely, they're concept of following Jesus is just the cultural Christianity. And so they may have never even been around a true disciple of Jesus Christ,
yeah.
which is what we're going to talk about, what that looks like yeah. and what that means today. So having some compassion and mercy instead of anger and frustration toward
yeah.
people because they're not behaving the way you think they should behave.
Well, what happens, here's in my estimation, what happens is that America got subconsciously competent in their walk with the Lord. So you look back, there has been, I would say, the first and second Great Awakening and the Azusa Street Revival mm-hmm. in America mm-hmm. in the
late
early
1800s,
yeah,
early 1900s,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
and even the in the early 1900s there were some movements up in like the, but either way, that has shaped the world, their mm-hmm. outlook on theology, all this kind of stuff, massive stuff. And so like we had all these healing evangelists, like this crazy stuff that impacted our nation, and people got subconsciously competent. And when you're subconsciously competent is like when you're good at something because you've done it so many times. It's like somebody asked you how to do something. Like a lot of parents, when they're teaching their kids how to drive, they get really frustrated because they can't understand why their kids don't get it. But you've been driving for so long, you're trying to help this person understand this thing. And so American culture got so subconsciously competent around Christianity, we stopped saying, this is how to do it, and just said, do what I'm doing. We didn't say, this is how, or this is why. Even that's, Jesus did that. If there's anybody who should be subconsciously competent and just say, do it, because I said, it would have been Jesus. But that's not. He said, this is how you pray, Matthew chapter 6, right? And so, but either way, as our culture's gotten more post-Christian, I think one of the biggest things for me, where I think we felt, because we were in school when it happened, when we stopped doing the Pledge of Allegiance, mm-hmm. which is not, I don't say like I'm not talking about like patriotism part of it. I'm talking about the reason we stopped saying it is the one nation under God, indivisible. And so we took that out. I think that is one of probably 100 things we could list that where our culture has shifted away from cultural Christianity, and you see the rise of same-sex attraction. You see the rise of gender dysphoria. I always say it wrong. You see the rise in these things because this, if you will, this bondage of cultural Christianity that was suppressing it. And now do we have disciples who can come alongside and love these people?
Well, and this was always there, but then there were these things that just
But you weren't allowed to say it.
You weren't allowed to say it.
It was suppressed by the cultural Christianity mm-hmm. part of it. But people weren't getting saved still, so it's not like... Yeah. It may feel better to say, I wish my kids could say with other kids, one nation mm-hmm. under God. Like I would mm-hmm. love to be able to say that, but that doesn't necessarily bring us closer to bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth, like being disciples.
Well, and then how much of, behavior was different. How much of it was behavior was different because people actually were following Jesus, or how much of it was, hey, this is just what the culture's like.
Yeah.
And this is just what we do, because you talk about it, and you and I were talking just at lunch today about this concept about when we do things for God or when we do things for ourselves.
Yeah.
And how much of that, when you say, hey, well, now we're seeing the rise of confusion in our gender, we're seeing a rise of, of pornography, we're seeing a rise in anxiety and depression and suicide. People aren't even getting married anymore. You know, there's a dip in divorce. Well, it's not because there's less divorce, it's because there's less marriage.
Yeah.
So we're seeing all of these sociological issues coming up and say, okay, what is it that brings a difference into the world? And it's true disciples. People just following Jesus because that's just what we do, because it's just the culture, is not going to change hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And you talked about that in this book, Deep Change.
It's called Deep Change. That would be Nicholas Tranchini. Is that how you'd say that?
Tranchini?
I don't know. Deep Change.
It's so good.
It's a beast of a book. It's really kicking my butt.
But at the end of this chapter, and I think this is the big difference between, I would say, a cultural Christian and a true disciple of Jesus. You said at the end of that chapter, it started talking about the concept of, it said, hey, ask if you're really saved.
Mm-hmm.
And why did he ask you? Because at the end of time, or at the end of your time, you will get to heaven, and there will be many people who look at Jesus and they say, Lord, Lord, I cast out demons, and I visited people in prisons, and I went to church, and I didn't have sex before I was married. And they'll start listing all the righteous things that they did, and Jesus will look at them and say, depart from me, for I never knew you, which is one of the most terrifying things in Scripture. But he asked you, before you continued on in the text, to ask yourself the question, if you've really given your life to Jesus.
Yeah, because I was trying to find, so I made sure I had where it was, the So it's in Matthew 7:22-23. You know, the whole, we did all these things in your name, whatever, and which has always been a pretty scary passage for me. And this guy really put some context to it, and he gives some good stuff for it. But essentially he said, the reason that these people are being dismissed is because they did those things for themselves. They didn't do it for Jesus, which again is a big, a great differentiator between cultural Christianity and discipleship. Disciple, you know, being a disciple of Jesus. More understandable examples. He said there was a lady, and on the way to church, she just decided for whatever reason she wasn't giving today. She wasn't going to tithe today. Like it just wasn't it. And then it's a special offering, so one of the elders are passing the plates, the buckets, or whatever it's at your church. And she respects this elder, and he leads her group. And so she dug money out of her purse and gave, not because she wanted to give, but because she didn't want that person to think less of her. And it gives a couple examples like that. And what God is so clear about is that the reason you do something is so important. And so again, I personally, Rachel and I talked about this, like, I think there is a place of doing things for God that you know you should, even when you don't feel like doing it.
Out of obedience.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And so, you know, and you've heard me say that on here. It's a lot easier to act your way into feeling than to feel your way into acting. But if you reflect on your life and you only ever do things so people can see it, you know, it does go back through. I believe it is in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 verses 1 through 18. Like when it talks about fasting, praying, giving, talks about doing those things. And then why do we do it? Are we doing it so that we can be seen by people? And if we're doing it so we can be seen by people, that's cultural Christianity. And he said, you have your reward. So I think that's a good example. So how can we become a disciple? Like I think we're all challenged. How can we become a disciple and not just be a cultural Christian?
Well, I think the first thing we need to do is understand what Jesus meant when he said, come and follow me. He was telling these men to come and be a disciple of a rabbi. So when we think about disciple, we think, well, it's just somebody who believes it and maybe does or follows some of those things. A disciple in Jesus' time of a rabbi, which is who Jesus was, you submitted to that rabbi's authority in all areas of your life, including how they interpreted scriptures. And that was like, it was a cultural given for all observant Jewish young men. It was something that they wanted to do when you became a disciple. You wanted to think and emulate and become a copy of your rabbi. So each disciple would come to that relationship with the rabbi with a willingness to do whatever they said. They were completely surrendered and submitted to their authority. And when we think about us being a disciple of Jesus, it's being totally surrendered to him and his way of doing things and seeing things. And we come with a desire to conform all aspects of our life to the authoritative lordship of Jesus. So to Jesus, and it's just like what you're saying, righteousness was not about what you did. Righteousness was about your heart. Because you'll notice that Jesus didn't choose a bunch of other rabbis and say, come and follow me. He didn't choose Pharisees and Sadducees. He chose untrained, uneducated men, tax collectors, fishermen, to come and follow him. And it wasn't about how good they were on the outside. It was about hearts being transformed. So if we want to become a disciple, then we've got to be willing to surrender for a lifetime our every aspect of our life, including our worldview, our career, our personality, our character, ethics, desires, motivations, values, family, sexuality, our attitudes of authority. Everything gets submitted to Jesus, which is countercultural, mm-hmm. especially in America, because you do you. You live your truth. Whatever you want, you get to do and be. It's the land of freedom. right? So becoming a disciple has three major pieces. Being with Jesus, because disciples were with them all the time, 24/7. You like lived with your rabbi. You become like Jesus, and then you do as Jesus does.
Yeah, so thinking about being with Jesus, you know, and I know that I'll fall into this, you know, our walk with Jesus is a relationship. And so whenever we think about being with Jesus, I know for me, in my kind of regimented personality, like I have this time that's for Jesus, you know, my quiet time.
And I don't think, hey, that's not a bad thing. Jesus was religious. He went to temple when he was supposed to go to temple. He practiced the festivals. Mm-hmm. Like he was a Jewish man. Like he was religious. So I don't think it's necessarily bad that we have these rhythms and practices. Actually, I think it's a good thing that we have them so that we can be like Jesus.
Yeah, I would agree. I just think that, first of all, we have so many distractions, whether it's social media or TV or whatever it might be, but just being with Jesus on a deeper level than just in your Bible time. And I would say that's part of the reason why we try to make such a big deal about prayer. We really want to encourage you to download the app. Like those things are so big, because making a continual time where, you know, I don't have to wait till tomorrow to pray about this or to think about this or to ask the Holy Spirit, like, hey, what do you think about this? So just being with Jesus. And it would say that Jesus would go, you know, the Bible says Jesus would go away. Mm-hmm. You know, before he picked the disciples, I believe it's in Luke chapter 6. You know, he prayed all night. And so, like, he made an intentional effort of being with God. And something I just think that's important about when we think about being with God, being with Jesus, is that, you know, Jesus was it's called the hypostatic union. He was all God and all man, but he still chose to be with God. You know, he was perfect. You know, he had the Holy Spirit, but he wanted to be with God because he wanted to be with him, not necessarily because he had to be with him. Mm-hmm. Now, he did go to him when he needed, you know, like when he felt weak or whatever, but he wanted to be with him. I think that's part of probably the big thing. I would say most people listen to this, like, when you think comes to being with Jesus, you probably know how to read your Bible, and we've done stuff on it. You probably know how to pray, and we've done stuff on it. But how's your just desire just to be with him? Like, how's your desire, like when you think about being a disciple, wanting to spend time to where you look just like somebody, you want to emulate the life of somebody. You know, Jesus calls it abiding. You know, being in, being with, being shaped by. And I think that this is less of a box to check off and more of a heart posture to have. You know, again, the first mark of being a disciple would just be being with Jesus.
Yeah. So one of the ways we can do that is literally slowing our life down so that we can live at a pace with the presence of God. And this is something we struggle with too. We are extroverts, and we like to be busy. I think a lot of people like to be busy. It keeps us from having to deal with our own thoughts. I think sometimes we're busy out of as like a coping mechanism. But slowing our life down so that we can do and be with God and then move on whatever he speaks to us, like mm-hmm. what he does in us, we can adjust our life accordingly.
Yeah.
When our life is so full, it's really difficult to adjust. It's hard to turn a really big ship. Mm-hmm. And so if you think about making your life even like shrinking the ship a little bit so that it's easier to steer.
Yeah.
The second thing, we talk about being with Jesus, but then the second thing to being a disciple is becoming like Jesus. And I think that is really hard.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you have the Holy Spirit, first of all. Some of us are striving. We are like really trying to white knuckle our way into being like Jesus, and that's just not how it works.
Yeah.
So we do that by allowing ourselves to be changed, changing our minds. Remember, a disciple, there we shift our mindset to match that of Jesus Christ, his worldview, the way he feels and thinks about things is how we're going to. And our end goal is to take our heart, the inner of yourself, to Jesus and the teachings that he has, and adopting them in such a way that they become second nature to you.
Mm-hmm.
Which means at first they're not going to feel natural. So when you start applying the teaching, you're going to spend time with Jesus. And we're with Jesus by doing things like reading the Bible and praying and fasting. Like, there's some practices of Jesus that we do, but those things at first are going to feel unnatural. But we need to practice those things because we love God. And when we're with Jesus and we practice those things, the teachings that he's given us, the things we learn from being with him and reading his word and talking to him, they're going to change who we are on the inside first. Mm-hmm. And that can be that's the hardest part, because it talks about that war. I mean, spiritual warfare starts in the mind. It's why, you know, every lie that you would come against, what's that scripture? You know what I'm talking about. That you could pull down strongholds.
Oh, 1 Corinthians 4:10.
Thank you.
Or 2 Corinthians 4:10.
Yes. And so God has given you the mind of Christ, that you would come against every lie, every offense of the enemy, that literally your flesh, your sinful nature, so that you could pull down the strongholds of the enemy, your fleshly sinful nature, and replace it with Jesus.
Mm-hmm. And hey, just to give you some more, tangible, something to grab onto when it comes to being like Jesus, I would just to give you maybe something to think about or pray about would be Galatians 5, when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Jesus was full of the Spirit. You know, he never sinned. But what he talks about is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And actually, just to jump off what Rachel said right there, and we'll move on to just that last one of doing what Jesus does, is in my interceding the other day, in my praying, I just felt like darkness was just attacking me. It was just one of those times of prayer, and I was praying through the fruits of the Spirit, and I was just asking the Lord, why do I feel this way? Like, what is it? And so if there was an intruder in your house, like, you would want to know. You it wouldn't be suffice to say, hey, there's somebody in your house, right? Or if you're trying to be like somebody, like, we want to be like Jesus, and they're like, hey, you're not acting like me. We wouldn't just say, oh, we'd say, well, what is it? And so we can look at the fruits of the Spirit and look at their opposites and see if we find those in our life. So love, is there any hatred or division in our life? Joy. Is there any depression in my life? Peace. Is there any anxiety in my life? And you'll feel the Holy Spirit in you react to it. You know, it says in Romans 8:26, when we don't know what to pray, the Holy Spirit prays with wordless groans. That's what that is. If you're listening and you have trouble with anxiety, and I say, hey, the opposite of peace is anxiety, are you operating like Jesus would be operating in peace? Operating like the world will be operating in anxiousness. Mm-hmm. Where do you find yourself? And if that's a struggle for you, you'll feel the response. Well, that's the Holy Spirit wanting to help you live in fullness. So that's just something I would say to grab a hold of, to be more like Jesus. And that last one is do what Jesus does. What's that look like?
So when we do what Jesus does, we do what he would do if he were you. So you remember the bracelets, the WWJD, mm-hmm. which have made a comeback.
They should. They're awesome.
So literally, like, what would Jesus do if he were sitting in your seat in your life? If he was a stay-at-home mom with 3 kids, what would he do? If he was working at the bank as a teller, what would he do? And you do your part. You fulfill your call to win the world. You use your gifts to see heaven brought to earth. You make your contribution to the church and to the world. And part of that means showing up to church.
Mm-hmm.
When you say, hey, I'm a follower of Jesus, but you only come to church once a month, can I just say that's 1 hour out of 676 hours?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that you could say, if you're not in the Word regularly and you're not in church regularly, you're not gathering in a community of other believers regularly, but you want to say you're a disciple of Jesus, I would argue that you are not.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I'm not trying to be mean or confrontational. I'm just trying to be honest that we have been fed this idea that culture, if I'm just good and I do some of this stuff, then it's cool. But we're not doing it because we're in love with Jesus. We're doing it because it makes us look better to other people, mm-hmm. or even to the thoughts that we believe, like, are of what we should be. So we just want to be what we should be, not because we're in love with Jesus and we want to be with him.
Yeah.
It's about us.
Yeah.
And then egocentric Christianity is not what biblical Christianity is. Mm-hmm. And we will find ourselves in heaven. And I'm always like, it concerns me how many people will find themselves face to face with Jesus and he'll say, "Depart from me, for I never knew you."
Yeah.
It should stir us, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So just like something to challenge you with is, hey, like doing what Jesus did. So when you're reading the word, you'll see the things that Jesus did. Jesus healed the sick. Jesus cast demons out of people. Jesus had dinner with friends. Jesus went to parties.
Yeah.
You know, he did a lot of amazing things. He Sabbathed. He spent time with the Lord.
Yeah.
And we can do the things that Jesus did.
Yeah. And I just would encourage you, if you don't feel like you know the things that Jesus did, just read the Gospels. Those are eyewitness accounts of what Jesus
did.
What
are the Gospels?
First books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew and John, those are eyewitness accounts. And then the other two guys were disciples of one of the disciples. And so, I would just encourage you with that. And if you think that maybe we're being over the top by saying that you need to do the things that Jesus did, he said that we will do these things and greater whenever we receive the Holy Spirit. Not just that, but you look at Matthew 10, he sent them out to do the same things. Sent them out to heal the sick, cleanse those who have leprosy, raise the dead. Like, he sent us out to do crazy stuff.
Said, even more blessed are you who believe without and don't see.
Yeah.
And belief is an action word. In Jesus' time, belief was not intellectual.
Mm-hmm.
It was physical.
Yeah, which is, I love that about the language. Shema means listen and obey. It's the same word for listen and obey, which I think is awesome. We need to teach our children that. But hey, we won't have time. We have a bunch of other stuff. We don't have time. There's a bunch of practices of Jesus. What I want to encourage you to do, if you feel like the Holy Spirit's just challenged you in this, we read a book called Practicing the Way by John Mark Comer. That's a whole book on this. Super impactful, really impacted me, really impacted Rachel. Everybody that I've read it has been impacted by him.
Yeah.
By the book. I would read everything that he's written. Ruth's Elimination of Hurry. Like, he's just a great
writer.
He's awesome.
Loves Jesus.
It's got good stuff for your family to do in there. So if you look for something to do, especially if we get towards the end of the year, if you want to do something to start out 25 or maybe in 24, going into 25, I couldn't recommend that more highly. Practicing the Way, you can listen to. It's all super good.
Mm-hmm.
But we just want to...
Go ahead. And the app.
Yeah, you get all... Obviously, I'm so sorry because you are throwing your life away without it. We do love you guys, and it's our deepest desire that we would be disciples of Jesus and not cultural Christians. And so one of those wins their world, and one of them fits in with the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to be disciples who do what Jesus asked and win our world. So we love you so much. We believe in you. Let's go out and win the world this week.
Mm-hmm.